Jared the GM live at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Jets pregame in 1 hour. Puck drop in two here at Bridgestone Arena. A rematch of the 2018 second round in the Western Conference. The heartbreaker that was that game. And Floyd Reese, I have a quick Ask the GM question before we get into Ask the GM.
Okay.
Are you ever going to hang a picture of me in your house?
I hope not.
Not a picture of me and you, not anywhere in the house?
We don't. I mean, we don't have any space. We don't have no wall.
I've been to you have a big house. Well, I just hung up. So I put up a bunch of pictures on this one wall in my house, and you're in 1, 2, 3, maybe like really 3.5, and then your bald head is in one of the other ones. So I guess it's like 3.5.
Close.
So it's you're in three of the pictures in my house. So I feel like if I'm going to have pictures of you in my house, there should at least be one picture of me and you in your house.
I mean, it only sounds fair.
So I will have to get that. I'll have to do that, though, won't I? Like, I have to give you the picture, and then I should just give it to Sally, shouldn't I?
Be your best chance.
There you go. It is time now for Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Bella Windows of Nashville. So without further ado.
When the GM speaks,
a little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Pella Windows of Nashville.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM. We go right to the phones. We got one line open, 615-737-1025. And the best call for the GM will get a pair of tickets to Vandy, Mississippi State at Memorial Gym this Saturday. We start off with Evan, who's going to kick us off here on Ask the GM. Evan, you're on with GM Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yep. Now, obviously, with your marquee college programs that are sending a ton of players to the NFL, you're going to find a lot of players on the rosters. But, Floyd, I want to ask you, have you ever seen a team pipeline so much talent as the Saints have from Ohio State? Almost their entire secondary are former Buckeyes. You've got Ted Ginn and Michael Thomas on the offense. And I think even back in the day you had Cameron Hayward. I don't know if he's still on that team, but I'm just wondering, you know, can you think of any other teams that have so selectively drafted or gone out in free agency to get players of a former college team like that? Thanks.
Thank you, Evan.
You know, I'm going to guess that that's just happenstance, although it seems incredibly odd to have that many. And there are places I know that coaches like simply because of the way they teach, the way that the quality of the kids they bring in from a toughness standpoint, from a size standpoint, whatever it may be. And there may be some of that, but they have had incredible success with the Ohio State kids. I mean, you think about the corner. They got a corner. They got the receiver, two receivers. And you know, guys that are, you know, as good as anybody in the NFL and yet weren't, you know, the first two or three guys off the board. So they've done a nice job. But they do a nice job. New Orleans, that whole franchise now is in pretty good shape.
Well, I think a lot of that with Ohio State is because Ohio State has been so good for so long. You know, it's like don't the Patriots have a lot of Alabama players on their team?
I don't, you know, again, I think
the Patriots drafted two guys from Georgia this year.
If there was anybody, I mean, if there was any school that that New England product, Rutgers, for a while there, they went to Rutgers for a whole swarm of guys.
And his kid was on the team.
And I think part of that was because you know, he knew the coach there. I think he felt good about the kid, quality of the kid he's going to get, the type of kid he's going to get, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, they got the McCourty brothers, and I think didn't Logan Ryan go there?
Logan Ryan did. You know, I think Daron Harmon went there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole slew of guys.
So he loves the defensive backs from Rutgers. Let's go to Nick, who's up next here on Ask the GM. Nick, you're on with GM Floyd Reese.
Hey, fellas. My question is concerning the injury report in football. And essentially, why do we have to be so forthcoming? In other words, is it ethical, moral? Is it fines, penalties? Or basically, why can you not just well, for lack of a better word, just lie about whether a guy's healthy and going to play or injured and not going to play, and just let the other team maybe prepare or not prepare or misprepare for a person's availability. And, hey, Jared, can you leave me? Can you put me back on hold? Because I'll miss the answer between the lag of hanging up. Thanks, guys.
Sure.
You know, I think this is where it came from. It came from a long time ago when people weren't as forthcoming about the injuries. There was a lot of people that spent a lot of time trying to find out, you know, the exact health of your team. And I think that led to, you know, guys snooping on practice and guys following people home and, you know, disturbing them at their house with the family, all kinds of things like that. So the league, that and the bettors, of course, wanted to know what was going on. So then the league instigated the policy. And the policy is set up to prevent teams from having to go and do things that, you know, legally might be a little bit shaky, simply to find out if a player is going to play or not. Coaches have tried to manipulate it for years. When I was a GM, you know, every guy we had was questionable for, you know, every week for the entire season. I mean, we just had, and my argument was, well, I don't know if it's 25% or 75%, so it becomes questionable. Now they are getting even tighter on it, much, much tighter, and it's much more important from their standpoint. And I think all the betting that has been included in the league makes it even more important. So the only fine I ever got in the NFL was because on a Saturday night, Steve McNair was our quarterback. Steve McNair had practiced the whole week, had played the week before, really had no injury problems or issues. Well, the night before, Saturday night, he caught the flu or food poisoning or something. Anyway, he was up ill all night long. We didn't think anything about it because we knew Steve was going to be there and it wasn't going to be an issue. But he came out of the press conference afterwards and they said something like, you know, you look like you're a little weak or tired or whatever. He goes, yeah, he goes, I was up all night long because I had the flu and I wasn't, you know, I was throwing up and this and that and the other. Well, the league saw that and the league fined me $25,000 for not reporting that. And I told the league, I go, it's not like he wasn't going to play or there was a doubt about him playing. Everybody knew he was going to play. He was just sick. And they said, no, anytime anything happens up until game time has to be reported to the league. So they're very strict about things like that.
Let's go to Adam, who's up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Adam, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey Floyd, I think you really opened a can of worms telling Jared he could hang a picture up in your house. He'll be there tomorrow morning ready to do that. But Man, I got a quick question for you. I've been a season ticket holder for a long time until they fired Fish, and then I kind of went away for a little bit. But you know how big of a Titans fan I am. I went to my very first Preds game this year, and the environment in there is just so exciting and hyped. I was so glad I did it and got to take my kids to it. And I'm wondering if you were a GM of the Titans and you were attended a game like that and you realized how awesome it was and how good that announcer is, if you could somehow influence that announcer to come for an audition for the Titans.
Thank you, Adam.
You know what, Adam? I don't know how that would work, to be completely honest. I don't know if he's a team employee. I don't know if he's an NHL employee. I don't know if he's a city employee. You know, things like that. The hard part about hockey and football, when you try to compare them, unless you're indoors, if you have a covered dome stadium, you know, is you're kind of talking about night and day as to the things you can do. Simply because if you're at, let's say, Kansas City this week, and there are some things that you think might be a good idea to do outside, well, if it ends up being, you know, 10 degrees, that's probably not going to be successful and not and probably not work very well. So, I mean, I think that I think the most people, most franchises have people going around the country looking at every sport, trying to figure out the things that they can and can't do, would be willing to do or not, and exactly what they have the equipment to handle. And that becomes as big an issue as anything anymore.
Let's get into the batch of calls for the GM. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville, is on ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. The best call for the GM will get a pair of tickets to Vandy versus Mississippi State Saturday at Memorial Gym. We got one line open if you want to snag it. 615-737-1025. We start with David, who is up next on Ask the GM. David, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. One thing, I find it hard to believe that Floyd is only fined once by the NFL. An X's and O's question brought up earlier, the running back for the Patriots getting 25 catches and doing so well, which reminded me of the kind of how the whole dynasty started is when the Patriots shut down the Rams and, more importantly, Marshall Faulk in that Super Bowl. They realized that kind of whole offense, you know, was funneled through Marshall, you know, Hall of Famer. So as X's and O's, how do you stop that kind of pass attack where running back, you know, do you put a linebacker? Are you dropping a corner more like a cover two-ish? Or, you know, what are you trying to do to really slow down that?
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the Rams,
David.
Because that same year we or maybe it was the year before, we played the Rams here.
And I
think both of us were undefeated, but I don't know if we were like 6-0 or whatever we were.
They came in, but they were like 8-0 and you were 7-1 or it was something like that.
No, I think we were both undefeated.
No.
Okay. Anyway, they came in with Marshall Faulk, who was as good as anybody in the league, and we put a DB on him. And probably one of the first times that had been done, especially with a running back. And so that kind of slowed him down. We played pretty well, ended up winning the game. Then later on, when New England played him in the Super Bowl, what they ended up doing, and this is how simple this game can get sometimes, you know, you spend all your time X's and O's and how are we going to knock him down, trick him and do all these other things. The only thing they stressed, not the only thing, but the number one thing they stressed all week long was jamming the receivers, not letting the receivers off the line of scrimmage. Now, they did this for a couple of reasons. One, in the playoffs, and you'll see this, I think, this weekend. In the playoffs, the officials let you play a little bit more. So when it comes to contact, and we saw this in some games last week, where, you know, the pass interferences that were called 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago were not called in this game, and they'll be called even less all the way through. So they thought that. And the second thing was that offense was based so much on timing and, you know, when the ball comes out and where it goes and all those things, that anything you could do to slow the receiver off the line of scrimmage, hinder his release, affected the timing of the patterns, and it also affected, you know, the quarterback when and where he could throw the ball. And that ended up being as big a deal as anything they'd ever done. And it was not something off the wall. I mean, it was something that was really, really smart. But sometimes, you know, you miss the forest for the tree. And I think that was one of those where they boiled it down to a simplest form, said, okay, this is what we need to be sure to be able to do. And if we can do this, then it'll give us a chance to win.
My favorite part about that story you told me is the fact that Troy Brown, the only receiver they had, nobody ever took Troy Brown away.
Well, Bill and I talked about this afterwards because, you know, we played him that year, and he said, you know, I went the entire season with the quarterback, the legitimate quarterback, and he said I had one receiver, just one receiver. And he said every game we were going to go out and try to throw him the ball, you know, 15 or 20 times, whatever we had to do. And nobody ever just lined up and said, okay, you may beat us with everybody else that's out here, but this guy is not going to beat us. And I think that's why you see New England now, if they get to a point where they're playing somebody and they're running a high-power offense, they're going to look at that offense and they're going to take something away. Now, it doesn't mean it's always the right guy to take away, but they're going to take something away. And they do a good job of that.
I bet that made you feel like a dummy when Belichick told you that one.
Yeah, Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody. I mean, they played, what, 18 games or whatever it was.
Let's go to Phil, who's up next on Ask the GM. Phil, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, Floyd, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Floyd, just in light of the Chiefs and Patriots game coming up this weekend, I was kind of wondering your perspective about Andy Reid and the Chiefs trying to game plan against the Patriots. First of all, how do they do that? And secondly, the Patriots have been in the playoffs now how many straight years, 16 or something. What are the three or four things that has made them so great over those years just from a GM perspective? So I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you.
You know, I think the three or four things that have made them great among those things are consistency. They do the same thing every year without it getting boring. They do the same thing in a different way, and they will change it up yearly to continue that. I think they have a heck of a program that they have really, really worked to keep exactly what it is. They try not to deviate too far from that one way or the other. And what that does is it allows the guys that are implementing the program to be really good at implementing it because they've done it before, but it also helps the guys that are being coached up to be a little bit better because they're hearing the same things on a year-to-year basis. And by that, I mean, they're not hearing, you know, okay, we've got to jam the receivers this week. It would be more along the lines of, you know, one of the things that's really important this week is to disrupt the release of the receiver. So we have to do, you know, this, that, or the other. It ends up being the same thing, but they do a great job of teaching it to get the point across. And then, of course, the stability of the program. You know, through this whole time, the same owner, same coach, same quarterback, same, you know, some, not many of those guys, but some of those guys are the same guy. So, I mean, it's a special, special place. I think when it comes to Andy in Kansas City, you know, this game in my mind is going to be determined. If it comes down to a brain game, then I think New England wins. If it comes down to a skill game, a brawn game, then I think Kansas City wins because I don't think there's any doubt but that Kansas City has a better group of stars. And I think if they go out there and if they play, you know, in similar fashion to what they have played, then I don't think New England can keep up. But if they do all that, or if they make a mistake or two, or if they give Tom Brady and the New England Patriots a chance, they will surprise you. So it's going to be a great game.
So my whole thing on this, too, about what you said is the thing about New England is sometimes you just get outsmarted by them, but sometimes you just outplay them. You know, the Eagles last year in the Super Bowl, they just outplayed them. Now, the Philly special was a nice little touch, but it was really the defensive line of the Eagles that was just eating up the Patriots' offensive line at the end of the game. They just go out there and beat them. And if Kansas City plays their game – Kansas City just has better players, goes out there and beats them. But if not, if it, to your point, becomes that chess match, I'm rolling with Belichick and Brady, and I'm waiting on Mahomes to make a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, again, if it comes to a game of brain, I mean, it's New England's going to win it. If it comes to skill set, brawn, then Kansas City's going to have a great chance. Simply because Kansas City's got so many weapons. I mean, between the tight end, the receiver, the running back, I mean, just on and on. They've got a giant list of great players. And the truth is, New England may have the best player, you know, to have ever played the game, but I don't know how much farther it goes than that. And then, you know, aside from that, they've got a bunch of good players, but no real superstar kind of guys.
Keith is in Bowling Green, and he's up next on Ask the GM. Keith, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Floyd, you know, we seem to have improved each of the last 3 years. I know some people might argue this year we didn't improve, but I think we did. I think we're much better than we were the previous 2 years. However, what do you think it would take for us to be able to compete to go to a Super Bowl? And how close are we? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
You know, I think Marcus is going to have a giant say in this whole thing. I mean, the truth is you can't get there without the quarterback, which means your quarterback has to not only play, but he has to play very, very well. And we're still, you know, Marcus still has a little bit of time, but I think it's, you know, we're getting down to where there's a little bit more pressure on him. And I think how he responds to all this is going to be really, really important. The truth is, from a personnel standpoint, I still think we're a little bit away. I think we're, you know, a year or two away. But I think that between this draft and what happens this offseason, we can start putting players in position to be star players. I think we can now look at some of the people we have and say, okay, this guy, we need to do more. We need to get more out of Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he's got to be our long ball threat, which means, you know, one, two, three times a game, he's just got to line up and run past somebody. And, you know, Marcus is going to have to throw and get him the ball. And if that's the case, then that, you know, changes the whole impetus of your offense. I think Davis is going to have to do the same thing. I mean, Derrick Henry is going to have to play 16 games for us the way he's played four. And if we can get that out of a bunch of these guys, then you've got a chance to be really, really competitive, really, really fast.
I just need me some pass rushers. That's what I need. Get Javon Kearse in here, and I think you are 13-3 and a Super Bowl contender. You don't think that? You don't think that if Von Miller were to come to the Titans, that the Titans would be a contender in the AFC for the Super Bowl?
A contender? You didn't say that. You said 13-3.
Oh, I think if Von Miller was here, 13-3, 12-4, yes.
You have no idea how hard it is to win 13 games.
The Bears were 12-4 this
year. You have no idea how hard it is to win 12 games.
The Bears did it. How did the Bears do it?
Bears obviously must be pretty good if they can win 12 games, because I'm going to tell you what, to win 12, 13 games in the NFL, that's an all-day sucker. I mean, you're doing a lot of good stuff.
Right, and it's hard to do a lot of things. But, again, you know, it's time. It's time for 12-4. It's time for 13-3. It's time for one of those kind of seasons. 615-737-1025. Coming up next on Jared and the GM, Preds and Jets back at it. The rematch of the playoffs a year ago and a preview of the playoffs this upcoming year. But coming up next, what if the one thing that you don't want to have happen happens tonight? We'll get to that. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How much do you look at the your guys to maybe on an individual level versus their guys on an individual level with maybe the future in mind when you're kind of seeing who can go up against who or who can win a battle with who?
You know, both these teams are pretty much the same. I think we've already danced that dance. And we know what they got. We know how they play. They know what we've got. And they know, you know, it's both ways. The systems and the players, like, everything's already on the table. For me, it comes down to probably more than anything the energy and the execution of either team that could be the difference. You know, it could be specialty teams that could be the difference. So I don't think there's any secrets here. I don't think we're going to learn anything tonight. I just think it's going to be a good hockey game.
Playoff rematch and maybe a playoff preview. Which one do you consider this, a playoff rematch or a playoff preview?
Got to be a preview if it's anything.
But not a rematch?
Nah.
Why not? They played last year in the playoffs.
That's it. Last year. Key
right.
Phrase.
So it's a rematch of last year when they played in the playoffs last year.
After last year's gone, there is no more last year.
So I think I want to implement a rule that if it happens before January 1, then it's a playoff rematch. If it happens after January 1, then it's a playoff preview. So how about that? Playoff preview tonight against Winnipeg right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 7 o'clock. Okay, so this is a question I think we need to have before the game. You know what Boy Scouts say, Floyd?
What's that?
Failing to prepare is?
A mistake.
Preparing to fail.
Oh, okay. I thought theirs was be prepared.
Maybe that is it.
Yes. As a matter of fact.
And you know what? You're right. That's right. That's right. Good one. But the point I'm making, and the important point, is that we need to be prepared in case the Preds come in, or in case the Jets come in here and beat the daylights out of the Predators tonight. If Winnipeg rolls in here without Dustin Byfuglien, without Nikolaj Ehlers, without a couple of their studs, and they put a whooping on the Predators, and Pekka-Rinne has a bad night, and all of that, how will we react tomorrow knowing how jazzed up the fans and the team is for this game and knowing that it is, without a doubt, a playoff preview?
Well, you're talking about for the fans? I mean, the fans will be distraught.
I'm talking about all of us and the team. Just go ahead and put them all in the same bowl and stir it up.
Well, yeah, but it's not the same to me. I mean, I think the fans will be disappointed. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And now they'll get over it quickly because the good thing about hockey is we got another game here shortly. So you get past all that. But I think for the team or the players or, you know, anybody associated with it, I think it's just, you know, not what you want, but we're good. Let's go. Get ready for the next one.
See, I don't like that type of attitude.
Well, what are you going to do?
But it's true. If they get their butts beat tomorrow, the fans will couch it.
And cry.
And they'll say, you know what? We beat, and I'm talking about, like, if you're a fan, we beat their butt last year, Jared, and then got in the playoffs and lost. So what does it matter? And I even kind of asked Philip Forsberg about that today. I asked him, Ian, if we can get that. Like, I asked him about playing Winnipeg in the playoffs and what that's like, and how much did it matter last year when you had these playoff preview showdowns before you got them in the playoffs. This is what Philip Forsberg said.
When you guys last year at the end, you guys kind of had some regular season matchups with them that felt like they carried a little extra weight. What did you learn from the regular season last year against Winnipeg, and what translated to the playoffs or what didn't?
Oh, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, obviously, we've seen these guys a bunch of times now and kind of know almost everything about each other, I'm guessing. So I think it's going to be, like I said, a physical matchup, and we're ready for it.
Translation, nothing. You know, like that's the,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't have. To me, I think you brought up a great point the other day before the Washington game, which is to watch, can guys compete against certain things that the big guys for Winnipeg do? And Crispy was on the show earlier talking about, you know, the size of Winnipeg. And you know this. You remember last year. I mean, you remember those guys. The Scheifele's and the Wheelers and the Line A's. I mean, they're giants. And that's not even including Byfuglien, who's not going to play tonight. Well, can Rocco Grimaldi play against them? Because he didn't play against them last year in the playoffs. Can Kevin Fiala, you know, who is kind of struggling in terms especially of physical hockey and got benched last year at a point in the Winnipeg series, although he did have a game-winning goal in Game 2 in overtime. But can Kevin Fiala play against this Winnipeg team? Those are kind of the questions I guess I have, or at least that come to my mind when I think about tonight's game and maybe the bigger takeaway that would be applied into a playoff.
Well, and if it's because it's a non-playoff game, I mean, the regular season, still early in the year, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, even if you beat them, if you beat, what are they going to say? They say, well, we didn't have three or four of our guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was on the road. We didn't have our players. So consequently, you won, way to go, but it's no big deal. And I think that's the kind of stuff you're going to get from them. And the other side of that is going to be, you know, from us, you're going to be saying, well, you know, we beat you at our place and feel really, really good about that. And they're going to say, well, yeah, okay, fine.
Well, you know, I remember last year the Predators went into Winnipeg and won 6-5, and that was kind of the big playoff preview game. And I read the Winnipeg Sun the next day, and I think it was Matthew Perreault who's there at the time. Perreault said, oh, well, we learned tonight that we can beat them. I'm like, you lost. And they were like, oh, we learned that we can beat them. And you know what? Can't hate because they did beat you. So there is that. Let's go to your phones on the Pred. 615-737-1025. Joe is up next and has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. What's up, Joe?
Last year they put us out of the playoffs. After we beat them tonight, what do you give our chances of finally getting the Stanley Cup in Nashville?
So, to me, I would say tonight doesn't really affect that too much. But I do want to play along. If the Predators get past Winnipeg, how do you feel about their chances of winning a cup?
It's not. Doesn't change it one iota.
No, I'm not talking about
tomorrow.
I'm talking about if they win the series against Winnipeg.
If we don't win the game, it's going to be, does this mean we can't make the playoffs? Or does this mean we can't? And if they do win the game, it's going to be, does this mean we're on our way to the cup?
No. I meant like if they beat them in the playoffs, then do you feel like they're going to win the cup?
Oh, that would be a giant step now. You talking about in the second round of the playoffs? Oh, yeah. They. And I don't know who would be left, but.
Calgary or Vegas or San Jose.
Yeah, it would be a giant, giant step.
So I think the whole key to all this is the one thing that Vegas did last year and you did 2 years ago, and that was avoid the long travel in the playoffs. You know, 2 years ago, you didn't have any long travel. Had two plane flights in the Chicago series, three plane flights in the St. Louis series, but those are like hour-long flights, so it's nothing crazy. And then you got the Anaheim series, then you got beat up and had to go to the Cup final. Vegas did the same thing last year. What was it, like a four-game sweep in a five-game series? So Vegas was flying nowhere, and you're beating up Winnipeg back and forth for seven games. That's the whole key to the thing. Yeah. I mean, that certainly plays a huge role in it. I would say if you beat Winnipeg, I like your chances against Calgary or Edmonton, or not Edmonton, although they could sneak in as a wild card. Calgary or San Jose or Vegas. Like, I like your chances, but, man, anything can happen if you get, like, a hot goaltender and – I mean, look, man, like, it's fun to talk about you having the best team in the league, which you have one of the best teams, but it's a grind in the playoffs. It is hard. So that's kind of my take on that. Like, it's, you know, beating Winnipeg. And remember last year everybody said, hey, the winner of this series is going to win the cup. Well, the winner of that series lost in, I think, five games in the Western Conference Finals. So,
yes, sir.
You know, how much can you really take away from that?
That was a shocker as much as anything else for me.
And I think Winnipeg after won the first game.
Yeah, after all of that, and they go to, who was it, Vegas?
Yep.
And they go play Vegas, and we're thinking Vegas is a little bit of a fraud, and it's boom, 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 and we're done. See ya.
Let me tell you about phony Vegas. I thought they were phony all year last year. Picked against them in the first round. Picked against them in the second round. Picked against them in the third round. Picked them in the fourth round. They lost. Then this year, they came out of the box and weren't very good. And I thought, there you go. Phony Vegas. It's finally caught up to them. And now they're hotter than a house of fire. And they're second in their division. They're killing it.
So what does that tell you?
Shut up. It says, shut up, Jared. That's what it says.
You got to pick the teams that you don't want to win.
What does that tell me? That says, shut up, Jared. That's what it says. Predators game day is next here on Jared and the GM as we are live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by the Nexus Group and TJ Anderson Homes. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators and Jets, the playoff preview tonight right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 7 o'clock puck drop. Pre-game show in a little bit over 10 minutes. Floyd Reese, I told you, you know it's a big game when I go to morning skate, when Stephen A. Stillman shows up to morning skate, because when I was in Boston, Stephen A. Smith would only go to big Celtics games. LeBron in town, he'd be there. The Knicks, he'd be there. Every other game, we wouldn't see Stephen A. Well, Stephen A. Stillman was there today at morning skate because it's a big game against the Winnipeg Jets. Predators game day brought to you by the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group today at 615-221-4200 and do not get catfished.
Unless it's on the ice.
Predators game day also powered by TJ Anderson Homes. Buy or sell your home at tjandersonhomes.com. We start with the coach's take. Peter Laviolette, he knows how big of a game this is. Peter Laviolette on facing the Winnipeg Jets.
Good game for us. It's a big game. You know, I think that there's certainly more built into it, and the fact that we played each other in the playoff series, and both teams have done had a lot of success in the regular season, and certainly in the standings this year. I think that when you play a team that's in your division, it's always a big game. When you play a team that's at the top of division, it even puts more of an emphasis on it.
He knows how big it is, especially he kept bringing up the division and points in the division, and we know how important that is on some level or another.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, not only the teams that you see most and know most, and but if you can get, you know, to the point where you can beat them with consistency, all those extra little wins add up.
Time to take a look now at the injury report for the Predators. Kyle Turris still on the IR. He is the missing piece for the Predators. Now, if you look at the lines from this morning, Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson are on the first line, centered by Ryan Johansson. Yarncroke centers the second line along with Fiala and Smith, which means that Peter Laviolette is sticking with the third line that he likes, which is Bonino, Watson, and Sissons, that physical checking line. He went back to that line against the Capitals the other day, put them up against Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. My guess is they're going to get the Wheeler line on some level. Or, you know, they'll probably get Wheeler's line tonight. But I do wonder why Peter, or I'm not wondering why, but it's interesting that Peter's going back to what he did in the playoffs, that he's at least doing it for these two games against these two high-end teams. And then Freddie Gaudreau centering the fourth line along with Ryan Hartman and Rocco Grimaldi. Couple injury-related items for the Winnipeg Jets. Dustin Byfuglien is on the IR. He will not play. Nikolaj Ehlers will not play. So a couple of big-time names out for the Jets tonight, which that is the one thing you call it a playoff preview. No, but no Dustin Byfuglien is no Dustin Byfuglien.
Right. I mean, we saw plenty of him before, especially last year. And for him to not be there is fine with me. He only adds a little bit of bulk to an already bulky team.
Well, in my opinion, the game in I think it was game 3 last year in the playoffs where he had the big lead and then lost it in the second period.
Yeah.
That was all because of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrecked that game. So he is out today for the Winnipeg Jets. Taking a look at the standings in the Central Division, the Winnipeg Jets are in first place, 30-14-2. That's good for 62 points. They do have two games in hand on the Predators as well, who are 28-16-4. Good for 60 points. So a win tonight would tie the Predators with Winnipeg at 62 points. However, the Jets still with two games in hand there. And I think Ian brought it up. They will not catch up to each other in terms of games played until April.
Wow.
So that is a little bit a ways away. These two teams are starting to pull away from the pack in the Central Division. Dallas is in third place with 50 points, tied with Punch and Judy. The Colorado Avalanche have 50 points as well. Paul Fenton, who is remaking the roster in Minnesota, they have 49. St. Louis, who stinks at 45. And Chicago is working their hardest at the number one pick, has 41 points. By the way, they suck. The Blackhawks, they are horrible.
And they know it.
They know it. They are terrible. in all seriousness, Winnipeg is probably in the best shape of any team in the Western Conference, as the Jets have only played 46 games. They have 62 points. Calgary has the most at 65. The Flames, though, have played, by my count, they have played two more games. Tonight, 7 o'clock, right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game, with the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. Pre-game at 6, Floyd Reese. What are we watching for tonight?
You know, I think we've spent for the last couple of days just talking about the similarities in these two teams, and I think there are an awful lot of similarities. I think if you start looking at differences and maybe something that may make the difference in the game, part of the scariest part for me with the Preds is, of course, their power play, and the other side of that is Winnipeg's power play.
I was saying the Preds' lack of power play?
Yeah, or lack of power play. And so I think for the Preds, they have got to stay out of the box. I think if they can stay out of the box and not make special teams a factor, then I think they'll have a great chance of winning. If they get in the box much and a little out of power plays, get a little bit tough.
I think they're going to have to play physical tonight. You know, they watched that game against the Washington Capitals the other day. They watched Arvidsson and Grimaldi and the little guys just go up and down the ice. The Jets aren't going to let that happen tonight. You know the Jets aren't going to let that happen in a 7-game series. So I'm going to watch the physicality. I feel like the one thing that Peter Laviolette should have done differently in the playoffs last year was when he went away from Scott Hartnell, bring Scott Hartnell back into the lineup, brings a little physicality, change the series at least briefly. I wonder, you know, how much of that's going to be a factor when these two teams meet up along the way. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll break down this game and, of course, conference championship weekend. Preds pregame. Darren is in the house. Preds pregame is next. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.